Welcome to day 123 of my Everyday Bible. I'm so glad that you've joined me on this great adventure through the Word of God. And if you've been with me since day one, you are just getting ready to complete your fourth month of reading through the Word of God. And that is a great accomplishment. So today we will read from the Amplified Bible, Psalms 106 and Psalm 107. So beginning at verse 1 of Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Who can put into words and tell the mighty deeds of the Lord? Or who can show forth all the praise that is due Him? Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are those who observe justice, treating others fairly, and who do right and are in right standing with God at all times. Earnestly remember me, O Lord, when you favor your people. O visit me also when you deliver them, and grant me your salvation, that I may see and share the welfare of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your heritage. We have sinned, as did also our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt understood not nor appreciated your miracles. They did not earnestly remember the multitude of your mercies, nor imprint your loving kindness on their hearts. But they were rebellious and provoked the Lord at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, to prove the righteousness of the divine character, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through a pasture land, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the Egyptian enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries, not one of them was left. Then Israel believed his words, trusting in, relying on them. They sang his praise. But they hastily forgot his works. They did not earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted and tried to restrain God with their insistent desires in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls and thinned their numbers by disease and death. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the high priest, the Holy One of the Lord. Therefore the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and closed over the company of Abiram. And a fire broke out in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged him who was their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They traded their honor for the image of a calf. They forgot God their Savior, who had done such great things in Egypt, wonders and miracles in the land of Ham, dreadful and awesome things at the Red Sea. Therefore he said he would destroy them, and he would have done so had not Moses, his chosen one, stepped into the breach before him to turn away his threatening wrath. Then they spurned and despised the pleasant and desirable land, Canaan. They believed not his word, neither trusting in, relying on, nor holding to it. But they murmured in their tents and hearkened not to the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand, as if taking an oath against them, that he would cause them to fall in the wilderness, cast out their descendants among the nations, and scatter them in the lands of the earth. They joined themselves also to the idol Baal of Peor, and ate sacrifices offered to the lifeless gods. Thus they provoked the Lord to anger with their practices, and a plague broke out among them. Then stood up Phinehas the priest and executed judgment, so the plague was stayed. And that was credited to him for righteousness, right doing, and right standing with God to all generations forever. They angered the Lord also at the waters of Meribah, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. For they provoked Moses' spirit so that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the heathen nations as the Lord commanded them, but mingled themselves with the idolatrous nations and learned their ways and works and served their idols, which were a snare to them. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with their blood. Thus were they defiled by their own works, and they played the harlot and practiced idolatry with their own deeds of idolatrous rites. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred and rejected his own heritage. And he gave them into the hands of the heathen nations, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under the hand of their foes. Many times did God deliver them, but they were rebellious in their counsel and sank low through their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their distress when he heard their cry, and he earnestly remembered for their sake his covenant and relented their sentence of evil, comforting and easing himself according to the abundance of his mercy and loving kindness when they cried out to him. He also caused Israel to find sympathy among those who had carried them away captive. Deliver us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in praising you. Blessed, affectionately, and gratefully praised be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered from the hand of the adversary, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the Red Sea in the south. Some wandered in the wilderness in a solitary desert tract. They found no city for habitation. Hungry and thirsty, they fainted. Their lives were near to be extinguished. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the straight and right way, that they might go to a city where they could establish their homes. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and in irons, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he bowed down their hearts with hard labor. They stumbled and fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke apart the bonds that held them. Oh, that men would praise and confess the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron apart. Some are fools, made ill because of the way of their transgressions, and are afflicted because of their iniquities. They loathe every kind of food, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivers them out of their distresses. He sends forth his word and heals them, and rescues them from the pit and destruction. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and rehearse his deeds with shouts of joy and singing. Some go down to the sea and travel over it in ships to do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises up the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. Those aboard mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the deeps. Their courage melts away because of their plight. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. All their wisdom has come to nothing. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He hushes the storm to a calm and to a gentle whisper, so that the waves of the sea are still. Then the men are glad because of the calm, and he brings them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness, water springs into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a barren salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into a pool of water, and a dry ground into water springs. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow fields and plant vineyards, which yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and allows not their cattle to decrease. When they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in waste places where there is no road. Yet he raises the poor and needy from affliction and makes their families like a flock. The upright shall see it and be glad, but all iniquity shall shut its mouth. Whoso is wise, if there be any truly wise, will observe and heed these things, and they will diligently consider the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. Today I want to bring to your attention a certain theme that we see introduced here in Psalm 106, and it's the idea that it is important for us as followers of God to earnestly remember and thank God for every kindness and mercy that we receive from the Lord. Psalm 106 starts out, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And then verse 2 tells us, who can put into words and tell the mighty deeds of the Lord? And that's a rhetorical question, but the truth is we may not be able to do it perfectly, but it's important that we do it. Because this psalm tells us a story. It's one of the historical psalms in the sense that it repeats some history of the children of Israel, and it gives us a great lesson from that history. In verse 7, it says, our fathers in Egypt understood not nor appreciated your miracles. And it's a reference directly to when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt and how God used Moses to work miracles that were so outrageous that Pharaoh eventually had to let the people go. And it says here in verse 7 of Psalm 106, our fathers in Egypt didn't understand, nor did they appreciate the miracles. They did not earnestly remember the multitude of your mercies. So this is the point that I want to bring to your attention today. The idea of remembering and not forgetting the faithfulness of God in our lives. That same verse tells us, they did not imprint your loving kindness on their hearts. Think about that. God had done great miracles. God had mercifully delivered them. God had shown them his loving kindness by taking them out of Egypt with a high hand, the scripture tells us, literally marching them through the Red Sea, making it the waters part and stand up like walls so that over a million people could march on dry land to the other side. And then he let the walls of water fall back down on the adversaries, the enemy army that was chasing them, and completely decimated that army. And yet the children of Israel didn't appreciate that miracle. They didn't earnestly remember the multitude of God's mercies toward them. And then, I love this part, they didn't imprint God's loving kindness on their hearts. Now think about that. How do you imprint the loving kindness of God on your heart so that you remember continuously the goodness and the faithfulness of God in your own life? You know, as years go by, it is very easy to forget the good things God's done in the past because we become so consumed with the present and maybe current pressures, difficulties, circumstances that seem overwhelming, so that those things occupy our minds and we quickly forget the mercies God has shown us in the past, the deliverances that God worked for us where we got out of a tough situation because of the grace of God, and also the kindnesses and the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in our lives, or the way God has led us so that we ended up in the right place at the right time purely because God led us, and we would have never gotten there if it wasn't for the leading of God. It's also easy to forget the victories that God has won for us in the past, and the encouragements that God has given us when we were going through a difficult season. And God's complaint, if you will, against, or indictment here in Psalm 106 against the children of Israel, was that they did not understand or appreciate the miracles of God. They did not earnestly remember the multitude of God's mercies, and they did not imprint, meaning deeply take to heart and keep it in their heart, how loving the loving kindness of God and the mercy of the Lord toward their lives. And so this is something that I want to bring to your attention today because it's so critical for us. It says in verse 11 of Psalm 106 that when the waters of the Red Sea covered the Egyptian army, and not one of that army was left, and they were totally free from this enemy that was chasing them to destroy them. It says in verse 12, then Israel believed his words, trusting in, relying on them, and they sang his praise. So at the moment when they received the miracle of deliverance, They believed God's word that said he's a good and faithful God and he will deliver. And they praised him and thanked him. But verse 13 tells us, but they hastily forgot his works. That's an indictment, if there ever was one, of a people that are supposed to be in close relationship with the Lord. Have you done that in your life where you're now in a difficult situation and you quickly have forgotten the last time God set you free, delivered you, intervened, got you out of a hard place, helped you, sent miraculous provision and deliverance to your life? We don't want to be like the people that are described in this psalm, that we hastily forgot God's works on our behalf. I don't want to ever be that person. This is so very, very important of a lesson for us. We need to learn from the history of the Israelites so that we don't fall into the same trap. But how can we avoid it? Because the reality is, as time goes by and pressures and circumstances arise that press upon our lives, we can become consumed with the moment and the present and the immediate emergency that we're in. But that's the very time to remember. It's the very time. It says they hastily forgot, but it's important for us that we remember. So I want to encourage you today about remembering the goodness of God in your life and imprinting his loving kindness upon your heart so that you don't forget when you are in a tough situation in the future, that you can look back to the past deliverance and intervention of God and then say, Lord, I remember you did that for me. You can do it again, and it'll actually buoy your faith. Let me give you a little illustration that I found that will, I believe, help you to remember this idea of how important it is to remember and to keep a heart of gratitude. It's a story that was told by a very famous radio commentator from past years. He's now dead, but he was quite famous. His name was Paul Harvey. And this man was a fantastic storyteller, and he was a man that would, on his radio program, tell the other stories that were never told on the news. You know, in the news, we often hear every bad thing that's been happening, every disaster, natural disaster, war, famine, murder, crime, and horrible things that are happening in the world. But Paul Harvey was the man who would bring the rest of the story, which was what he called his program. That's the rest of the story. In other words, I'm going to tell you something else that'll actually be an encouragement to your life. And this story he told, and I'm going to read it just as it's written in a book called Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, that was printed, that was published in 1977, and it's quite fascinating. It's one of Paul Harvey's amazing tales, but it really punctuates for me, or illustrates for me, the importance of remembering. It is gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return, walking slowly and slightly stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in October of 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water and the weather and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts. The largest raft was 9 feet by 5 inches, the biggest shark 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and a miracle occurred. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off. Suddenly, something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull. The gull meant food, if I could catch it. And the rest, they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught that seagull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. You know that Captain Eddie made it, and now you also know that he never forgot. Because every Friday evening, about sunset, on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, slightly bent. His bucket, filled with shrimp, was ready to feed the gulls, to remember that one which on a long past day gave itself without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness. Now that story, to me, is a great story about remembering, about gratitude, and about never forgetting the provision of God. Captain Eddie could have easily forgot what had happened as the years went by and he was safely back on the United States soil and living comfortably in his little apartment in Florida, and he could have just completely forgotten that very dramatic moment when God sent an unlikely deliverer, that seagull, but he never forgot. And how much more should we, who love the Lord, keep in our minds and in our hearts a remembrance of every single time God has sent us help, God has sent us guidance, God has sent us blessings, God has sent us a deliverance of some kind. But how can we avoid the trouble that the Israelites had in remembering? It says in the 106th Psalm here that they hastily forgot his works. Even after they had seen such incredible miracles, such as the Red Sea parting and then returning back to its normal state and destroying the army that was after them, I want to encourage you in this way. Consider making a journal, a family journal of remembrances. You can call it the Book of Remembrances. You could call it the Book of God's Faithfulness. Whatever you like, the Book of Thanks, but have it so that all of your family unites together and decides that every single time God does something for you, He provides, He blesses, He leads, He guides, He brings a miracle into your life, whatever it is, that you write that down. And you even have, if your children are old enough, have them write it down. Write the date. And then write down, today, God did this for us. And be very detailed about the story. And that way, you can keep a remembrance. And then, when you're going through a difficult time, you can get out that book of remembrances and go through them and say, I remember when God did this for us. Oh yeah, I remember when God blessed us that way. Do you remember when God sent that miracle when we needed it the most? And you can go through as a family this list of remembrances, this list of the great things God's done, this list of God's faithfulness. And that way, you won't fall into the same trap that the Israelites fell into, where they hastily forgot. These are all different words that we see here in this psalm. They did not remember. They did not value. They did not honor the miracles that they saw. We want to be a people that remembers the goodness of the Lord, that praises God for His faithfulness. And this is a great way to do it as a family, or if you're a single person, to do it for your own personal life. That way, when you start going through a difficult season or you're facing a difficult problem, you can go to that book and you can give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. You can give thanks for His prior mercies, the loving kindnesses you have seen in your life, and you can earnestly remember the favor that God has shown to you. And that way, your faith will be lifted up, and you can pray with faith that God will do again what you've seen Him do before. And then you'll receive another intervention of God to write in the book of God's faithfulness. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.